From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Hey there, everyone. I always wanted to do that. The oh, hey there, everyone. Bit. Catchphrase, as you will. Count Panic here. This is Bob After Dark, WJLB AM 1230, 104.7 FM on the radio, as well as the video component, JedTV.com. Just call your local network up and say, I want my Jed TV, and they'll give you the Jed TV. It's free. It's a free app you could use to watch all great programming here inside the Strack Mantel Studios, which is where we broadcast Bob After Dark. Or you may be listening on the TuneIn app for just the audio fans out there. Pick that up anywhere throughout the, not just the country, but the entire world with that TuneIn app. And as well, the podcast format, Bob After Dark Podcast. Although, technically, Bob might edit this part out of the podcast, with the reason being he's not here yet because there's a train. There's a train in the region. I just see him on my camera. Oh, did we get the shot of him pulling up? We almost got the shot of him pulling up. But there's trains where we're at here in the region. So he was slightly delayed, but he will be in here in just a quick, short few minutes. I don't know if that door is open, by the way, which I'll be curious to find out. We have tight security here on Bob After Dark. There's about six security guards that stand by the door and block the door as well. I think he might be getting in. If not, you might just bear with me and I let him in. I'm not sure. This is the days like this. I need the wireless microphone to let him in. I think. Maybe not. He's at the door, but I don't know what door he's coming through. I'm going to assume he hasn't banged on the window yet, so I'm going to assume, well, he's going to get in here. But we are here with you for the next about an hour or so, till 10 o'clock, when then Beatles Bits, Rick Kubik spinning the dial on that. He's knocking at the window. Oh, what should I do here? I should probably play a song, right, and then kind of get him. I'll do that. Let me hit the old YouTube. What's the? I don't have time to play anything spooky here, but, well, I should. Well, let's see. What's a good spooky song? Let's try this one. Little Red White Riding Hood. Sam the Sham. That's kind of spooky, and that's the thing that pops up first. Stick around. Bob here, coming up next in the voice and face of the region, WJLB Jed TV, Bob After Dark. Be right back. And with that, we bring you Bob.
Oh. You know, it's I got to do it, but let's get it started here.
Officially.
Okay. Oh, hey there, children of the night. Welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever-wonderful, ever-vampiric, ever-cape-wearing, forever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my brother, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hey, Bob. Kept the plane in the air there for a takeoff. You can feel free to edit that out of the podcast, because that makes no sense to people, but for folks listening live, it was a good time here.
I couldn't keep the copyrighted music in there, but I would definitely enjoy something else.
Well, you can cut it up. But here's the thing. Trains are a problem. See, me being a vampire, I could get around.
You just fly right over.
You being a human can't do that.
No. Yeah. I am so happy to be back. For everybody that can't see me live right now on Jed TV, which, you know, if you're watching, you're watching me live. I'm back in the studio for the first time today since my surgery. I am far from 100%, and I am far from just even 50%. But I missed looking at your beautiful face, Count Panic, so much.
Thank you.
And I know you missed me.
Yes.
What's Laurel without Hardy?
What's
Come
Abbott
on,
without Costello.
What's Batman without Robin?
What's Bert without Ernie?
That's you and I are the Bert and Ernie of the paranormal.
That's high praise. High praise.
Have you missed me?
I did, Bobby.
Are you just saying that to shut me up?
A couple weeks ago, you were on a Zoom there, and I know normally, usually Tuesday nights are kind of our spot, 9 o'clock.
Yeah, but we election coverage.
Election coverage, and then, you know, with sports, sometimes we get bumped around. So, but happy to be here tonight, Bob.
Yes, and as we walk in, I am dealing with some legitimate technical difficulties. It's pretty much dying. Yeah, so, guys, if I'm like having issues reading, it's because I'm looking at my notes via my phone.
Where's that charger at?
It's not a big deal. We could look at it through the phone. You guys are just going to have to deal with a little bit of pausing as I scroll through my notes. That's all.
That's fine.
My phone's at good charge, so I'm happy about that. Anywho, Bob After Dark, we're your show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says everything that goes bump in the night. We did all that. Bob After Dark is your weekly-ish paranormal show where we talk about legends, lore, and the supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, and of course, the moments that Count Panic missed me the most while I haven't been in the studio.
Oh, man. Well, the moment you come in the studio, beaming with light and goodness, that's the part I missed the most. By the way, I hope I didn't spook. There's an intern here working diligently on the computer. He probably thinks, why is there a guy with a cape?
Why is there a guy with a cape walking around? I feel bad for the intern now. The intern happens to be working during the late night talk show where we talk about the paranormal, right?
But he's doing good over there. But Bob, my favorite moment, who could, I think as soon as you hit the airwaves, that's my
Did you miss me, though?
I did miss you.
I miss you. You know, my people ask me a lot about my social life. They're like, Bob, what's your social life like? I'm like, look, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I see my mother, I see the Queen of the Night, Vix, and I see my producer on a regular schedule. I play video games with my friends in real life, but outside of that, I get to see them. Steve's my brother, my best friend in the world. I get to see Steve, if I'm lucky, every other month.
Yeah, he's traveling. He's making towns.
He just won since I've been down, he won a world title.
He did. We know the official title of the title.
The RPW World Championship.
RPW World Championship.
He's the world champion at RPW, and I'm very proud of him.
Congrats to Steve.
Congrats to Steve, yes. Steve and actually were just talking today briefly. It was nice. But when my social structure gets disjumbled, which means I don't get to talk to – I haven't got a chance to see Vix too much since my injury. I haven't seen you at all, so that just leaves me hanging out with my mother.
Yeah,
I'm homebound. I can't – driving is a challenge. This is probably the farthest I've driven since my surgery – since the injury, actually. It's not even injury, since the organ ruptured, whatever you want to call it. Since all that nonsense, the farthest I've driven was like 20 minutes away from my house. And it's tough. It's hard to turn. I don't know what's wrong with me. I got another test on Monday, and I finally get to see a specialist. We talked about that last week.
Yeah.
I am so thrilled to finally be getting back onto the swing of things. And I missed all of you guys, the fans. And, of course, I missed you, Count Panic.
No, for sure, Bob. And, you know, what people didn't see behind the scenes, your mom, of course. But also,
mom came with tonight to the studio because driving by myself, it's still iffy. If I, I'm able to do it, it's better to have somebody with me to keep me kind of company and calm. So she rode in with me.
You also brought in a team of nurses with you, Bob.
I did. They're on standby.
There's about six of them in the lobby area.
Yes.
Right there waiting.
Also, I know you guys have kind of seen me on Zoom, but webcam picks up on different things. The camera here is a lot better than my webcam is by leaps and bounds. If you guys see me pouring sweat while I'm here at the studio, do not panic. Pun intended. Don't panic. That's just the way my body's been since I've gotten ill. Don't think I'm passing out on you. I promise I'm just, this is the way my body chemistry's been going. But it's so nice to be back here with you.
Yeah.
So Bob After Dark is split up into two parts. The first part is the weird spooky news of the week. That's where you, the fans, and me, the Bob, go scouring the internet for the weird and unusual, the things, any kind of articles that are weird and bizarre, advances in science that borderline on science fiction, cryptids and ghosts making it into major media. Those are the types of news articles I bring. I 98% of the time don't warn Count Panic at all beforehand. And we get the hashtag Panic's Take, where we get to hear him talk about you know, yeah, stuff.
Stuff.
He gives us his opinion on the articles. And then we take a quick break. And when we come back, we take a page right out of Dr. Ben Vanderson's journal. And we do the lore of the week. This one's going to be, I know we've done a couple shorter episodes over the past 2 weeks. We're going to have a shorter episode again this week. Reason being is because things are, WJOB was able to move me into the schedule. I have a show starting directly after mine. So I have to end a few minutes early so we can get them in. Next week, if everything pans out okay and I'm not, you know, whatevered, just you'll see me hang out here and I could get a normal episode length to you. But at least I'm giving you content to everybody.
That's what we want. The folks are hungry.
Yes, I would say they are.
The meat, now, they want the meat and potatoes.
The meat and potatoes. All right, Count, so are you ready to dive into the weird spooky news of the week?
Yeah, let's get to it.
All right, so I got a couple different ones this week from Oddity Central. It was a slow couple weeks in paranormal news. But the first one is an interesting one, and I got to watch the removal of this on a video. A 3-year-old girl complaining of monsters in her room. I'm not going to spoil it for you. I'm going to read the article because the title of it spoils it. But let's preface. There's a 3-year-old girl who says there's monsters in her room and she's hearing rustling noises and like almost growling noises. She complains of ghosts or monsters, right? So there's a 3-year-old girl from Charlotte, North Carolina, who complained to her parents about monsters in the walls in her room. They thought she was imagining things, but there was something actually in the walls. Little Sailor Class had been recently watching DreamWorks Monsters, Inc. Animated movie. That's not a DreamWorks movie.
Oh, they messed up.
Ooh, they messed up big time. I'm going to email Spooky. He's the guy that writes this, or she or they. Monsters, Inc. animated movie when she started talking to her parents about monsters in the walls, so they didn't really take her seriously. In fact, they even gave her a bottle of water and said it was monster spray so that she could spray away any monsters at night. That's good parenting. I'm proud of them for that. But her complaints only got stronger over the following months. Sailor's parents started taking her more seriously when her mother, Macy's, noticed that bees were swarming near the attic and chimney of their old farmhouse. Mace's class thought the daughter could hear the buzzing bees through the ceiling, but things were much, much worse than that. Sailor's parents ended up calling a pest control expert who identified the insects as honeybees, a protected species in the United States. He noticed that the insects were traveling towards the floorboards of the attic right above the little girl's room. But when he used his thermal camera to scan the walls, a part of the room lit up like a Christmas tree. Because honeybees cannot be harmed under U.S. federal law, a beekeeper was called to have them and their hive removed. Only it wasn't a few bees that made a bit of honeycomb, but a massive colony stretching from the tiny coin-sized hole in the attic deep into the walls of the room of the house. The beekeeper told the class family that he had never seen a beehive go that far down into a wall. The beekeeper, whom Sailor began calling the monster hunter, oh, it's cute, removed the flying insects by making a hole in the wall and then vacuumed them into special boxes. Many of them simply poured into the room from the wall, and the class family had to cover as much of the house in plastic foam so the bees couldn't hide. By the end of the special occasion, between 55,000 and 65,000 bees were removed, and along with 100 pounds of honeycomb was removed from that little girl's wall. And the bees were, of course, relocated to a bee sanctuary. Miss Mace's class told the local journalist that the bees had their honey damaged, damaged the electric wiring of the house, and she estimated the total cost of repairing everything between more of like $20,000. Insurance will likely not pay any of these costs as they don't cover any pest related because they deem it preventable. Such cases are rare, but definitely not unheard of. In 2019, there was a story of a family in Granada, Spain, who discovery was living in a colony of 80,000 bees in the wall of their bedroom. Hashtag panics take.
Yeah, Bob. I, you know, thinking about this, this is quite unbelievable if you ask me for sure. But yeah, you know, there's a lot of people I feel like that have these problems. They think maybe it's paranormal, but at the end, it's actually bees. Now, what's worse, though? Would you want bees in your wall or ghosts?
I'll take the ghosts. I could get rid of a ghost pretty easily. Bees, for folks that listen, because we do have international fans, bees here in the United States, specifically honeybees, are actually an endangered species. You ain't supposed to do anything like that. Now, me, I've chased around wasp nests in my career with me and the Queen of the Night's House up north. We have to take care of wasp problems on the often. But, in this case with, the bees, that sucks, man. You can't really do much. Get the beekeeper to go in there and remove them at least. And lucky for you. Also, by the way, honey is not cheap. As somebody who started making mead this past year, and I've been, making mead and my newest batch is ready to be bottled, by the way. I'm proud of that. As somebody who does that, I could tell you that honey ain't cheap. You could probably have taken that 100 pounds of honeycomb and probably sold it for a couple grand. And, make up some of the cost of the repairs. $20,000 is expensive, though. We have a caller on the line.
Yeah, let's see if we could get this caller. Caller.
All right, caller, you're on the line. Caller?
I'm going to get in trouble for copyright infringement. Are you back in the saddle again, Bob? Hey, Bob, you're back in the saddle again.
Yes, I was like, who's breaking
me? Bob, I knew you could make it. Hey, I called last night. And I got some guy telling me who won the coroner's office.
did Bob end up in the coroner's office?
I said, that's kind of spooky, but, where's Bob at? They said, hey, there's no Bob here tonight.
And no, Bob's not here.
Yeah.
I said, man, that's spooky. You're telling me about this crap about who won this and who won that. And I wanted to hear Bob. And I forgot. I didn't know it was election, but... But you say you're back in the saddle again. So
I'm here. I'm trying my best, John. I am currently sitting in this stool is ripping my insides apart, and it sucks, but we're powering through it, baby.
Hey, you're getting through trains. You're getting through this. You're getting through that. You're going to make it, Bob.
I appreciate hearing that, John.
I'll see you. Take care.
Thanks for calling in, John. That's so nice.
How about that?
And, folks, you can call in at any point, too. 219-845-1100. That's 219-845-1100. I would thoroughly enjoy hearing from somebody.
One day they have to let you do the election coverage. I feel.
You want me to cover the coverage? That would be the fastest news coverage in the world. All right, day one, who cares? Let's talk about ghosts.
Well, something to look into.
Absolutely. But no, it's so I've covered stories before at panels and stuff when we talk about the paranormal, right? Mm-hmm. You have to take these things seriously sometimes, right? You have to take these allegations seriously. If this little girl thinks she's hearing noises and they ain't going away, you should probably check on them, right? Not because of believing that they're monsters, but things in houses can happen. Steve's got his story, I got mine. Steve was doing the same thing. Little girl was seeing things in the middle of the night and almost catching a weird smell. Steve went in, used his K2 meter, and found loose wiring in the house. And loose wiring, by the way, if you're exposed to all that electricity, can cause an hallucination once in a while. The time I know is the time that there were squirrels in the ceiling.
Yeah.
And they thought they were hearing ghosts. Oh, yeah, no, easy. You were hearing squirrels. Those things are very much a possibility. And, it's an interesting thing to say the least.
No,
so
sure.
I much rather deal with the good old fashioned bees, or I'm sorry, I'd rather deal with ghosts.
Yeah,
ghosts ain't gonna cause $20,000 worth of damage to my electrical foundation.
Ghost bees?
I will take the regular. I don't know; they might still cause problems. But no, I'll take ghosts any day. I could get rid of that. I'm not about to endanger this this company. Endanger the company of bees is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Yep. So, I don't know. That's my take on it. Sometimes you got to take these allegations seriously, guys. And then, it's a 3-year-old and they're watching Monsters, Inc. So, I get it. You don't want to jump to a conclusion right away. I'm not saying don't do that. Plus, I'm not a parent. So, please do not take parental advice from me. I am probably top 5 not people you should be asking parental advice for. Give them a can of frosting and tell them eat that and go to bed, right?
A father figure.
I'm more of like the fun uncle figure, Anyway, I would rather take that. Next news story comes to us from Oddity Central once again, written by Spooky. And this is a shorter one, but I think some people that listen to the show are going to get a kick out of this, okay? You ready?
Yep.
What if I was to tell you that you can now buy your very own flame-throwing robot dog?
flame-throwing robot dog.
Yes. Ohio-based flamethrower manufacturer ThrowFlame recently unveiled the Thermonator, a remote-controlled robot dog with functional flamethrower attached to its back. This thing is absolutely outrageous. Originally unveiled over a year ago in a viral YouTube video, the Thermonator is now available for pre-order from the ThrowFlame official website. By the way, guys, ThrowFlame is not sponsoring this post.
They could.
I mean, I guess. I don't know. Being sponsored by a flamethrower company. That'd be an interesting one. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you just got to kill a cryptid with a flamethrower.
Melt the snow.
Have you ever fired one before? On a side note,
I have never.
I have.
Have you?
I have. Dr. Ben Vanerson owns one.
Really?
He does. And I fired one. It is. It's scary.
I mean, can you take that out? Like, can it be like a Ghostbuster thing where you take out?
No, I ain't doing that again. it wasn't. I shouldn't say it was terrible. Like, you know, people could take that how they will. But yeah. I fired
just
one.
Pointed in the right direction.
I did. You pointed it just straight out in front of you. And when I shot it, it felt like this wave of heat just hits your face, you know?
Strong wind.
And the way it loads is this little gasoline container up top, and it drips down. So there's dripping fireballs coming from it while
that
you're shooting.
That sounds dangerous,
Scary. Okay,
Bob.
We got another caller.
We got another caller here.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, caller.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to tell you a story that happened to me in the early 80s.
Sure.
Paranormal. I was working as a security guard, and my boss told me when they were building, it was a office building. It looked like a mansion, a used mansion. And when they were digging, it was farmland that they were digging on, and they had three graves there. And they were excavating it to move the graves to a different area. And when they went down, it was old pine caskets, and everything was crumbling. And instead of moving them, they just said, we'll just crush them.
Wow.
You know, because they couldn't do anything. It fell apart. And so they built this building, and the third floor was empty. They used to store stuff up there, and the cleaning ladies on the second floor would hear stuff. And they would get scared, and they would always leave in twos. They would never work up there alone. They would hear doors closing, drawers opening from the desk, and you could hear wind howling through, and it was making weird sounds, so they were freaking out. So one night, I was outside doing security, and I looked up in the third-floor window, and I saw outline of a girl, a woman, with a bun, like a bun in her hair. And that's my boss told me the dates from when these people died were in the early 1900s, late 1800s. And it was one girl that was like about 18 years old. And when I looked up there, I saw it looked like a girl like 18 years old. So about, I was afraid to go up there. So about 3 weeks later, I went up there and I saw a hairpin on the by the window that you stuck used to like a comb.
Sure, was that,
sticking?
Not to you know, give too much information away, but is that something that would be common at that kind of office mansion place or no?
What would be common?
No, I meant like the hairpin. That's not something that would be just like hanging out.
No,
there.
No, that wouldn't. That would be totally odd. It was just storage. It
oh, I got
just
you. Understand.
Like furniture. It would be pictures, frames, furniture. That would be completely. It would something you would never see up there. Yeah, you know, and it'd be like 3 a.m. I'd be walking through there and hearing howling noises and stuff. It was just
an interesting
a bad
job.
Experience and they actually put like on the plot of land like a park, they put the three graves there, just the headstones without the graves actually there. So yeah, that was just kind of freaked me out. So yeah.
I mean, Bob, that can't be when you crush the that's
it reminds me, and I know this is going to sound wonky because it's you know the movie, but it reminds me of the story of Poltergeist, right? You know,
yeah,
they built over the graves, and unfortunately some of these, especially like ancient native burial grounds, and, you know, I know that sounds cliche, but that happens more often than not. Sometimes, you know, these graves are just, they were never recorded. And, you know, you might start digging, and if you don't find the remains, unfortunately, sometimes that stuff just happens. And in your case, your place of employment, that's nuts. Was that local? I won't dive too much into it, but was it local now around Northwest Indiana?
That was in the Cleveland area.
Cleveland. Okay. Yeah. That's so fascinating. And that, what a heck of a 3 a.m. job for you just to be kind of doing your nightly rounds and, you know, hearing groans and screams.
Yeah, it was, you had to go on the rounds. It was kind of scary, but yeah.
Well, thank you.
So I just want to let you know a little story.
Look, I love when people
great
call
show.
In with their stuff.
I like your show.
Oh, thank you so much, man. You have a great night, okay?
Listening on this radio.
I love it.
Thank you, though.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. That was fun.
And normally, too, I should clarify, normally we're here on Tuesday.
Tuesdays. It's rare.
But here's the thing with election night sometime and sports that might be coming up here and there.
I get juggled around, guys. It's nothing.
But it will be
me.
9 o'clock in some capacity any night of the week. But
yeah, I appreciate that, man. The podcast comes out. But when I get the live callers telling their experiences, it gives me that old school feel, right? I got into this to be like Coast to Coast AM, and that's what they do. They have their open lines, and you call in, and I mean, a lot of times these days they're not as paranormal as Art Bell was, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you know, sometimes they're a little bit more political these days, which you're not getting politics on Bob After Dark.
Well, unless you do election night.
You want me? Look, dude, why not? What's moonlighted? That's the term, right?
Yeah, moonlighted.
I moonlighted as a meteorologist when the tornado came through the road.
You were the voice of reason.
You were the voice of reason. I wanted to get out of here.
In their people's darkest hour, they turned to you.
Look, I had to be a meteorologist. I cover the news already. Yeah, given I'm not covering hot topics, other than, I guess in this case, it's the flamethrower story. It's a hot topic.
You're like the Peter Jennings for a new generation.
I am something like that. Peter Jennings, the Jeopardy guy?
No, that's Kenji.
That's Kenning. Who's Peter Jennings?
He was a news guy back on ABC a long time ago.
I gotcha.
Like Dan Rather. Yeah. But that could be you.
That could be me. I don't know. I consider myself a journalist on a very loose basis.
You took a couple classes.
I did. Thanks, Neil. I miss you very much. Professor Namath, you taught me a lot about my life. And now here I am.
We're in the rum jungle.
I haven't heard that term in a long time. But so anyway, the robotic dog. You remember the stories with the Boston AI dog that was out? We covered it last year or the year before. But it was that fully motionable dog that was like fully articulate and it was running around the warehouse, right?
Yeah.
You remember we talked about that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Imagine that, but they strapped a flamethrower to the top of it.
That's terrifying.
It is absolutely terrifying. So that's the gist of the story, Count.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to hear your hashtag panics take.
Yeah, normally, robotic dogs could be terrifying. Flamethrowers, depending on who's using them, could be terrifying as well. But when you put these two together, I feel like it creates a lot of a havoc and chaos, basically. Unless you got a good robot dog who doesn't use the flamethrower for evil, then you're set. But if it is a robot dog that's kind of going rogue, kind of going off the grid, attached with that flamethrower, it's not going to be good, Bob. It's not going to be good.
No, I would say definitely not. So, we talk about the advances in science, right?
Yeah.
And we talk about that a lot on the show. And I do it for a couple of reasons, right? One, it helps buff content at the end of the day. I'm not going to lie to you. I do this to kind of pad content sometimes. But it's interesting to look at those news stories from my perspective, being that we cover the strange and unusual, ghosts and goblins and things that go bump in the night, right? We cover those types of things. And sorry, I'm breaking out in a cold sweat, guys. So, I like to cover these types of stories to give, a little bit of a spooky twist on these stories.
Yep.
And I know we're at the point now in the... Sorry, Count. We're at the point now in science where we're able to create these robots. And yeah, I get this thing's more novelty than it is like an actual, functional AI, But imagine where we're going to be, using this as some sort of weaponized thing in the near future, you start giving AI more and more and more freedom, and now you're attaching a physical weapon to it. And I given this thing's more remote control than it is AI, but we already have the AI dog. Now you could strap the flamethrower to the AI dog, and now we have a problem.
Yeah, or worse, could be other than a flamethrower.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm getting at here. Is don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you don't buy a flame. I don't care if you buy a flamethrower or not, to be completely honest with you, but I don't think attaching it to a robot dog is such a smart idea, because someday those things are going to become smarter than us, which they already are, but wait till they gain sentience. Yeah. And then we're dealing with the Matrix, or we're dealing with Terminator, Blade Runner. I could keep going. Yeah. I wouldn't
attach it to a robot dog or just a regular dog.
The only thing that needs to be attached to a regular dog is a harness or a leash or a cute sweater.
You don't need a flame.
Or my hand when I pet the puppy.
Yeah, that's all you need.
All right, Kyle, you want to take a quick break?
Sure.
All right. For our live fans, stick around. We'll be right back. And for our podcast fans, stay tuned. You're going to be hearing words from a podcast that you should be listening to. Stay tuned. And we're back.
Oh,
hey there, Count.
Hey there, Bob.
Oh, hey there, Count. What'd you do during break?
During the break, Bob, you wouldn't believe it. I created a robot cat that has a flamethrower as well.
A robot cat?
Yeah.
Is it I was trying to think of a fire pun with cats. The flaming meow?
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that. That's a good name for it. Yeah. But this is just to kind of balance off the dog with the robotic dog with a flamethrower. But what did you do during your break?
You know, Count, I took up a new hobby.
It's the hobby.
Yes. I was a real big fan of the board game Parcheesi. And come to find out, I'm really good at it. And I took it up on a professional level. Now I'm number 3NA in Parcheesi.
How about that? Well, congrats, Bob. I know that's something that you really dreamed about all these years.
All these years, growing up, my parents would ask me, Bob, what do you want to be when you grow up? Fuzz, you got to think of something. And I told them I want to play professional Parcheesi. And now I'm number 3NA, baby.
Yeah, look at you. You are the Parcheesi.
I am the Parcheesi master. Guys, I am so sorry if you're seeing me like live on camera and I'm wincing and moving around and happening to stand up. This is, I'm doing this for you. It's tough, but we're getting through it. We're getting through it. All right, Count.
Is it just the stool
itself? It's the stool. I think it's the way I got to set up. Yeah. It's tough, but we're getting through it.
We could go to the floor. We could do the show.
Oh, don't worry. I'll stand and I'm moving around a bit. Plus, it's my nightly chills and cold sweats I've been going through. Right. So just we're getting through it, guys. Don't worry. If I pass out, Count Panic will come in here and resuscitate me.
And we got the team of nurses right outside. Yeah.
So, Count, you know what we haven't talked about in a while?
No.
The Japanese yokai. Do you remember what a yokai is?
Refresh my memory.
So a yokai is, so here in America, right, where predominantly the audience listens from, I don't think we have any listeners in Japan. We might have a handful, but maybe from like a yokai story. But the best way to describe a yokai is, you know how here in North America we have our cryptid stories, we have ghost stories, we have spiritual beliefs as far as like deities and stuff, how we have all that here.
Yeah.
In Japan, you kind of take all of those supernatural entities and you morph them into one term, and that'd be a yokai.
Okay.
So, and there's different classifications of yokai, right? So you have your like really scary cryptids, like what we're talking about tonight. You have your ghosts, you have like humanoid things, you have legitimate gods or deities that they would refer to as onis, those types of things. And there's also my favorite classification of yokai is when an inanimate object comes to life, and usually it comes to life to teach its owner a lesson.
Okay.
Fans of the podcast that have heard my panels at cons, when I do anime shows typically, I'll do a yokai panel because it fits in. It's Japanese culture. And the yokai panel is off the rails. You like normal Bob After Dark? Get of age because it's an 18-plus panel. I go off the walls with that one. Because the yokai, and the reason I don't do a more yokai stories is because a lot of times they are completely more insane than what we have here. I'm talking about creatures that have eyeballs in places that aren't supposed to have eyeballs. And that's where we're going to stop. Terrifying. Terrifying, right? And then a lot of those things, their Japanese yokai are way more terrifying than a lot of stuff here. You have like turtles that sumo wrestle that you have to like fight them by ripping their arms off. You have to get like foxes drunk so they can reveal that they're foxes. It's a whole nightmare out there. But sometimes, you know, a good chunk of them I can talk about. But yeah. We don't do a lot of them. But the first episode of my podcast, which wasn't the first episode of the radio show, but the first episode to ever come out in podcast form, we talked about the Yukiona, which is very similar to Wendigo lore that we have here in North America. But in Japan with the Yukiona, it's a woman that controls the weather. A demonic force that controls snow and ice and uses throwing its voice to sound like a baby crying to lure people into the woods and freeze them to death. So very similar to the Wendigo, not exactly, but similar. And it's kind of cool to draw the similarities between the two cultures, right?
Yeah.
So tonight we're going to be talking a little bit about the Ushi-Oni.
Ushi-Oni.
The translation of that, and by the way, this is coming from yokai.com. If you guys are interested and you don't mind getting a little bit more terrified, check out yokai.com, legitimate encyclopedia. There are thousands and thousands of yokai, which we don't have thousands and thousands of cryptids here, but there are a lot of yokai in Japan, and they're really fascinating stuff. But the Ushi-Oni translation into is what we have here in America. Best translation would be Ox Demon. An alternate name would be the Gyuki. And its habitat is usually along the coast or near bodies of water found in West Japan. That's important because different regions in Japan, just like how we have cryptid stories like the Bigfoot here in America, right?
Yeah.
You have the skunk ape in Florida, Pacific Northwest calls it the Sasquatch, Arizona calls it the Mugden Monster. You know, you have those different stories.
All
right?
That, yeah.
Yeah. But it's different parts of America kind of call it different names. In Japan, same thing. So the Ushi-Oni on West Coast would be called the Ushi-Oni, depending on where it goes. And its diet consists of usually just meat, specifically human meat.
Human meat?
Human meat.
So, I'm a vampire, but you.
Me.
You.
I wouldn't taste very good, though. I'm a vegetarian.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So anyway, let's talk about its appearance. A terror from West Japan, an Ushi-Oni is a class of monster that lives near water. The name literally means ox demon and refers to a number of different monsters with the bovine traits. Most Ushi-Oni resemble an ox from the head up and a demonic horror below. Many variations are known to exist. The body of an ox with the head of an oni, the head of an ox with the body of a spider or a cat, or even an ox's head on a body of a Japanese version of a minotaur, which would be known as the Kimio clad. So that's Kimono clad human. Its behavior. Despite their unique and varying morphology, all Ushi-Oni share a number of characteristics pointing to a common origin. They are exceedingly cruel and savage. They breathe toxic poison and eat humans for fun. Some Ushi-Oni are lurkers attacking people who draw too close to their lairs. Others are hunters roaming the coast to seek prey. The cruelest of Ushi-Oni ravage the same towns over and over, inflicting terrible curses or bringing diseases. Although a few roam the mountains of the island of Shikoku, most Ushi-Oni live along the rocky coast and beaches of western Japan. Ushi-Oni frequently work together in cooperation with other yokai. The spider-like version from the coasts of the islands of northern Kyushu and western Honshu frequently partners with Nuri-Oni and Iso-Oni, which are different yokai as well. These siren-like yokai use their charms to lure unsuspecting men to towards the water's edge, and when they approach, the Ushi-Oni pounces and bites the victims to death, and the meal is shared between the yokai. So it's,
they share?
Yeah, so yeah. This thing, the most common depiction, when you go and look, it's really cool because Japanese take their lore very seriously. I would say probably even more serious than we do here in America, outside of native tribes when they have their thing. It's very similar. The Japanese, many, many centuries ago, actually would paint and draw the depictions. And if I had my computer working, I was going to send you a picture, but unfortunately, computer died. So, yeah. But this thing, and legitimately the most common depiction in ancient Japan's of this creature is the most common is the head of an ox with the body of the spider. And underneath each of the eight legs is a giant spike that helps them climb up coastal rocks, or it gives them better grip into the sand, so and they can get through wet sand a lot quicker to draw people in. What I find interesting about this creature is that it uses it does the same thing as what the Greek mythology had with the siren, right? Siren being like a mermaid, and mermaid lore is all over the world, as we've talked about before. I need to redo the mermaid episode, by the way. Yeah. Remind me of that. But you look at the mermaid lore, and especially in Greek mythology with the sirens, it lures people in with the song, with songs or praise or erotic messages, whatever it might be. Those, that's a popular story. Even Homer dealt with it in the Odyssey. They had to put wax in their ears. But the Ushioni doesn't, it doesn't have a pleasant physical feature that it morphs into something, you know, because the siren is usually depicted as a beautiful woman or beautiful group of women doing that to lure in men. And when they get close, they show their true form, which is, you know, usually a terrifying looking, like, half serpent, half human, like, aquatic creature, yeah. Right? But in this case, this thing's just a straight up ox head with spider claws, and it's luring people in just by talking to it. Now, that's more terrifying to me than this thing just kind of going around rampant. It's interesting, too, about this yokai is, in Japan, when you go to temples, what are, you know, those... The dog statues are usually creatures that you would that protect the shrine from evil spirits, because dogs are usually barkers of warding off evil. That's why dogs are very sacred in Japan, and why they have these big statues of the dog creature to block out evil, right? And they're usually very sacred statues. There is one in Japan, in Kyoto. They have a shrine there, and usually the shrines in Japan are dedicated to kitsune, which are the fox creatures. Yeah. You have the tanuki, which are the raccoon dog creatures, and then you see a lot of the dogs, or even lucky cats as well, are usually depicted. But there is one shrine that depicts these merciless creatures there as guardians of that temple. And when you go there, there's statues of ox, and it says that if you pet the ox, you will get good luck, and it'll bring you great prosperity, and whatever prosperity means to you. Is it wealth? Is it fame? Is it fortune? Whatever it might be. But in Japan, these creatures are so worshipped as this, in that one location, they see these horrible things, and these horribly terrifying things, and they're like, you know what? No, 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 no. We're going to start worshiping them like a god, so then they don't bother us down the line, because as we spread in the lore from yokai.com, these things will repeatedly go to a village and terrorize one village every year. Or even every month, every week, whatever it might be, the time frame that this thing comes, and it'll just keep ravaging the village over and over again, which is also an interesting thing, because we hear about that, you know, in America, when we look at native stories, a lot of times these native creatures that are attacking, you know, the indigenous peoples, they usually attack the same tribe over and over again, or they'll attack like the same colony or the same grouping of those peoples.
Yeah.
So this is one type of thing too, where it attacks the small village, and it'll just continuously attack. And, you know, when we talk about other things that might attack villages, sorry, folks, when it gets to, you know, these things attacking other people, it's interesting when you could leave an offering to ward it off. Mm-hmm. Like in the Japanese story of the Kappa, the giant turtle creature, something you can do is you can challenge them to a fight. And if you win, then it'll like actually bring like work to your, you know, your village. It'll help bring better water, so your crop line gets better water, et cetera, et cetera. But in this case, there's no story that I could find in my research that says that giving this thing any sort of offering would ward them away.
Nothing at all.
I haven't found anything. I mean, people might leave offerings to it. In this case, with the shrine in that particular region of Japan, maybe they weren't so malicious and you were able to leave, you know, an offering. Sometimes offerings in Japanese culture would be things like money. Obviously, you would leave a coin. that's popular amongst most cultures when they want to leave an offering for a deity or a fae, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Another big one in Japan is leaving it booze. Tanuki, if you go to a Tanuki shrine, there's always a bottle of sake there. So maybe that's something they would do there as well. But in the case of these things that are just ravaging villages, it doesn't pan out too well for them in the end. The depiction of this thing, though, Count, ain't that scary.
Yeah.
A spider body just crawling on all eight coming at you, and it's got this big old ox head. And not only does it have razor-sharp teeth, razor-sharp claws, but it breathes toxic gas.
Yeah. That's that's the kicker right there. Yeah, I could take the other ones, Bob, but when you start breathing toxic gas, then that's a problem. That's an issue.
Yeah, 100%. I don't know. What do you think? You think this is one of the more terrifying things we've ever covered on the show?
I'd say so, Bob. It has all the elements of something horrible, something terrifying. But as you brought up at the beginning of the conversation, they do share. It seems like, which is
they share with other yokai though.
Yeah, which is they band together. I guess. I mean.
Oh, so that just makes it all the more better. Hey, certainly crazy, scary ox demon. You could work with these other two things and all is forgiven.
Maybe if you dress up as one, they'll think you're one of them.
That's some cultures do that. They'll have the masks that they'll wear to, ward off things because they think it's, a deity or it might ward them off. So, I mean, that's a thing. But I'm also not about to go. I don't want to meet the person that would dress up in a head ox head and walk around with a spider body. That's terrifying.
Yeah, no, it's horrifying.
Yes. All right, Count. Closing words for you, because we have another show. This is unusual for me. I'm not used to having another show after me, but we have one coming in the next few minutes.
Well, yes. Well, nobody's going to be in physically here, but it will kick on at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, but that's another. Don't ruin the mystique, Count.
Oh, well, they know. They're hip to the. If you're hip to the programming, you know what goes on.
What show is next, by the way?
Beatles Bits, Rick Kubik on the dial.
Ah, yes. So. Not Bob After Dark.
No. You were just on right now.
I was just on right now. So that live folks, you might be like, wow, we're going to hear more ghost stories. No, you're going to listen to the Beatles.
And
there's nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong with that at all.
No, I just can't do that because that's copyright infringement.
No.
Yes.
No, we can't play the Beatles.
No, we can't play the Beatles. Screwing with you. Anyway, Count, so what's your closing words on this creature? Because I'll give you the Bob Anderson safety tip.
My closing words, stay away from this cryptid here.
I'm going to tell you just to stay away from water.
Stay away from water.
I mean, the water's got all kinds of nasty business.
All bodies of water?
The coastlines of Japan, stay away from them.
I was never planning
to go. Actually, if you're in eastern Japan, there's no. I think there's kappa there, so that's another problem, which I'd rather deal with a kappa than this thing, because the kappa, at least I have a fighting chance to beat the thing up. Yeah. It's not a good chance, but it's a chance nonetheless. This thing, there's no warding this thing off. I don't have any lore here to be like, hey guys, when we talk about some of these things from mythology and the different lore around the world, I usually give you guys some sort of weapon to be like, here, you could deal with this, but I have nothing. So maybe robotic flamethrower dog can do something.
Yeah. No, hey, get the robotic flamethrower dog. How about Lake Michigan? Should we stay away from Lake Michigan?
If you go out towards the Lake Michigan Triangle is a problem. Don't go towards the Lake Michigan Triangle.
Okay.
But, I outside of that count, the flamethrower dog is my answer. The man's best robotic friend versus scary ox demon.
There you have it.
Now, Count, it's really good to be back.
Yeah.
I'm a little shorter of an episode tonight, but there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. And to remind folks that may be listening to this live on the radio or watching Jet TV, usually Tuesdays at 9, I know we'll be back here next week, Tuesday 9.
Yes.
But if you say we jump around during the week, I know we got the baseball coming up this season as well, Corn Dogs, we might have to share some time spots with. But you can always find us where, Bob, if you missed an episode. It's
Bob,
free online.
It's free online. Wherever you listen to podcasts at, guys, Bob After Dark is, you can find it at Spotify, Apple, Upcast, Downcast, Meowcast. I'm on every podcast service, including... but not limited to our brand new YouTube channel.
How about
Every podcast will now come out on YouTube as well as every place else, which is really cool.
So this makes it pretty much accessible to everybody.
Yes. So you can go to youtube.com/@TheBobAfterDark.
What if you can you go to YouTube?
You could just type in Bob After Dark on YouTube as well, and it'll come up. And some of the episodes didn't get up because they took all 150 something odd episodes we have of the podcast and they uploaded them at once. Mm-hmm. And when they did that, there was some that got jumbled up and are missing that I have to go back and fix. And then for whatever reason, you and I got 3 copyright strikes on YouTube from the Neil Diamond, what's the word I'm looking for? When they leave some estate, the Neil Diamond estate, copyright struck us. And I'm like, I never in my years have ever like played a Neil Diamond song on the show. So I got to go back and look through that, which is interesting, but nonetheless, so you guys can follow us on YouTube as well.
All right. Perfect.
Absolutely. Everywhere. Colin, it's so nice to be back. It's nice, so nice to see you.
Yeah, it's nice to see you too.
All right.
And you got through it, Bob.
I did. It's a little tough, but we're going to figure it out.
Stand up and rest up.
That's the plan.
Okay.
But guys, thank you so much for coming on. And Count, do you have any closing words other than that?
Everybody just have a great night and keep on keeping on.
Absolutely. Folks, I just want to wish you all sweet dreams. To my mother, good night and sweet dreams. To Tiff, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you have the sweetest dream of them all. And to Dad, whatever you might be doing out there in the afterlife, I hope you're doing whatever it is that you want to be doing. Good night, everybody. Remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are: not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.